Pesach, Chag HaPesach, which we just consummated and which we just celebrated and finished, really celebrates an exalted state of Shira, of song. It celebrates, at least on the first day, a Hallel Shalem, where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu best we can in complete and awesome prayer. The entire Seder of Lel Pesach, the ceremony, is enjoined by Simcha and by Shevach, praise of Hashem, and rejoicement in having been saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself in the bowels of persecution of Mitzrayim. But interestingly enough, immediately after the first night of Pesach, the second night of Pesach is already marked by the event of Sfirat HaOmer, the counting of the bringing of the Omer, the Korban which is brought between Pesach and Shavuot, marking the cutting of the grain of the Sadeh, of the field, and demonstrating our belief in Hashem as we offer the first grain to the Kohanim in the Mikdash, demonstrating that ultimately our parnasah, our livelihood, supplication, and provisions are provided by none other than Hashem when we sanctify our lives. Rav Soloveitchik saw this second night of Pesach, Sfirat HaOmer, as the antithesis of the first night of Pesach. The first night of Pesach, in exaltation, joy, rejoicement, praise of Hashem. The second night of Pesach, already counting the Omer, says Rav Soloveitchik, is almost anticlimactic. This concept of counting in the first place is really, in a sense, a person who says that they are rushing to count down towards something that they anticipate. Rav Soloveitchik explains that when one counts, it demonstrates a state of unsatisfaction. I'm counting because I anticipate or look forward to being somewhere else. And in a sense, it's a downer. First night of Pesach, exaltation. Second night of Pesach, already marked by the very fact that we are dissatisfied. In addition, the more obvious reason why Sfirat HaOmer is also anticlimactic and depressing in a sense is because the entire mitzvah marks really Zecher LaMikdash, remembering the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and in a sense, therefore, introduced into the heart of Chag HaPesach through the Sfirat HaOmer is the concept of Avelut, of mourning, reflection upon what we lost, namely the temple, the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. And this is the reason why Chazal explain that we do not recite the Shehecheyanu at the beginning of the mitzvah of the Omer. Because Shehecheyanu is a bracha shel simcha, and we refrain from that bracha because there's a sense of avelut, of mourning, that we can no longer offer the Korban Pesach, we can no longer offer the Korban HaOmer marked by the Sfira. And yet, interestingly enough, the Torah itself is systematic in connecting and affiliating these two concepts. And while each, we look at the Psukim of Chag HaPesach, immediately following is the mitzvah, the directive of counting the Omer. Each one is given or designated its own parsha within the same perek, within the same chapter. The Torah says in Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, Psukim Hei through Zayin, בחודש הראשון ב-14 לחודש בין ה-40 פסח להשם וב-15 יום לחודש הזה חג המצות V'Hashem Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. 7 days to eat the matzot, 7 days to celebrate Chag HaPesach. Immediately afterwards, in Psukim Tet through Tetzayin, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. The Parsha opens with a new introduction. Hashem said to Moshe as follows, obviously introducing a new concept, a new mitzvah. And yet Pesach and the Omer appear in the same perek, only a few psukim apart. Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarta alehem, ki tavou el haaretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, asher ani noten lachem, וקסרתם את הקסירה והבאתם את עומר ראשית שכירכם אל הכהן. You should cut your first cuttings of wheat and bring the עומר, the first cuttings, to the כהן. והניף את העומר, he'll take the עומר, he'll raise the עומר, וספרתם לכם ממחרת השבת ביום אביאכם את עומר התנופה, and then you should count ממחרת השבת from the next day, from the day that you bring the Omer, Sheva Shabbatot Mimoti Yena, make sure that it is 7 complete and wholesome weeks, obviously, which we know marks the arrival of Chag HaShavuot, which is also known as Chag HaAtzeret, the Chag, the holiday of putting an end, a stop, Atzor, to stop the counting. And therefore what we see within the context of these few psukim is a conscious attempt by the Torah to differentiate between these two concepts of Pesach and the Omer, but at the same time they appear within the context of the same perek, demonstrating that in a sense they are indeed intertwined. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explains this interesting conundrum as to what is the difference between the two and what is the connection between the Pesach and the Omer as follows. The Rav explained that Pesach represents a complete transcendental experience, a transcendental existence. Everything which was done to Am Yisrael in the events that are described in Pesach, Yetziat Mitzrayim, and even the time that we walked through the Midbar, were all demonstrative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength and awesome power, His dedication and His catering to our every single need. The Torah says, Ani velo malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim biyad chazakah ubekoach gadol, with great and awesome strength. It is Hashem who does so, as we declare in the Haggadah, Ani velo malach, Ani velo saraf, Ani velo shaliach. It is Hashem who does so. He provides for us. And indeed, Hityatzvu Ura'u et Yeshuat Hashem. Bnei Yisrael were directed to do one thing during Yetziat Mitzrayim and the events that followed, and that is look, observe, and see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the miracles that transpired around them. In Dvarim Perek Chet, Psukim Beth through Dalid, this is indeed confirmed. The Torah says, "Vezacharta et kol haderech asher holichacha Hashem Elokecha ze 40 shana b'midbar." Remember the entire events, the way that what? That Hashem took you 40 years through the midbar. Vayancha, vayarivecha, vayachilcha et aman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for you, gave to you, He gave you the man, the food. L'man odiacha ki lo al alechev levado yichya ha'adam. Simlatcha lo valta mi'alecha. You never had to worry about clothing. Raglecha lo batzeka ze 40 shana. You never grew weary or tired. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of every single need. All of the parnasah, the livelihood, the supplication that Am Yisrael may have needed, it was not necessary for them to deal with it themselves. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of every single need which was necessary for Am Yisrael. However, says Rav Soloveitchik, in stark contrast, one has to recognize that ultimately this transcendental existence has to come to an end. And the question that one has to ask or deal with is, what do you do when the party's over? What do you do when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to say, now you have to learn to deal with life in your own terms? It doesn't mean that Hashem leaves us, but certainly that He would not perform the miraculous feats in a daily existence. We were expected to take the reins in our hands and to deal with our lives in our own terms. That can cause a great depression. It can cause a great shock. And one has to ask, how do you deal with this? How do you move from that miraculous existence, everything being provided for, to a stark reality and slap in the face which says, now you have to provide for yourselves? Says Rav Soloveitchik, אבל החוויה הטרנסדנטלית מגיעה לכלל עצירה. The transcendental existence ultimately comes to an atzira, chag ha'atzeret, a time when it stops, when it ceases. Ein hi nimshechet lanetzach. It does not last forever. Hashem rotzeh she'adam yichyeh. God wants us to live. Yitkayem v'yamol b'mamad shel ativi v'shel hakavua. He wants us to learn how to deal with the natural results of the world, with the natural daily tidings that await us as we take the course of life. Hachizyonot ha'niflaim shel shirat hayam ne'elmu. The wondrous visions that Am Yisrael saw at the parting of the Reed Sea, they're gone. Ora shel ha'metziyut ha'transcendentalit kaba. The light of this existence has become extinguished. As it says in the Torah, immediately after Am Yisrael experienced the Yam Suf, Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem im Yisrael Berfidim. Immediately they are confronted with the reality of war. Amalek comes, attempts to destroy them, and they are brought back into reality to protect themselves, to deal with their own livelihood, to deal with their own lives as it may. Rav Soloveitchik says that this is indicated normally by what we read after Pesach. The parsha, which is normally read after Pesach in most years, is the parsha of Shmini. Story of Shmini, the dedication of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, is a story of happiness, of simcha, of shevach, of praise to Hashem. But even in Parshat Shmini, it is interrupted by the avilut of Aharon. The parsha tells us that Aharon HaKohen lost two of his sons, that they died in the heart of the Mishkan. So even at a time of joyous simcha and dedication, there can come a time of avilut, of a harsh reality, of a mournful existence. The Chag of Atzeret, Shavuot, when we stop, is a reminder that Am Yisrael are expected to deal with and to indeed learn how to cope with reality. How is one supposed to react? What do we do to stabilize our existence when we go from a Pesach of ultimate rejoicement, simcha, reliance upon Hashem, to an aseret, to a svirat haomer, where we are counting, where we realize that our lives ultimately are also in our hands, biyadeinu anu, in our own hands to deal with in this reality? How do we deal with such a challenging situation? The Torah prescribes a formula. It tells us to bring the Korban HaOmer, to count towards the bringing of the Korban HaOmer. The Korban HaOmer is brought from grain. And the Torah tells us two concepts. The first is that we have to be prepared with reality, just as Adam HaRishon was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he sinned, "Bezeyat apecha tochal lechem." You would be able to eat bread, but be prepared that you're going to have to sacrifice, that you're going to have to work hard, that you're going to have to toil, and sometimes that toil will result and will indeed consequently reveal itself in toil and in turmoil. But nonetheless, man has to be prepared to invest those energies, to be active in order to activate his own produce in this world. And the second concept, says Rav Soloveitchik, that the Omer reminds us of, is that we have to be prepared to use those goods, to use the parnasa, which naturally man might say, Kochi v'otzem yodi, asali etzeh. I'm the one who produced these goods. I'm the one who made the investments. I'm the one who's successful and who has financial success. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds us through the Omer to bring it to the Kohen, to bring it to others. Lehakriv leman hakihila. One must be prepared to offer, to sacrifice, and to give for the sake of a greater cause, the cause of a tzibur, the cause of a kehila, a congregation, an altruistic cause. That's how a person takes the mundane, the basic elements of parnasa, and raises it to a higher level. The bringing of our Korban HaOmer to the Kohen is a statement that we can take and that we are prepared to take our physical sustenance, our parnasa, our money, our finances, and to raise them to Kedusha, to a higher level, to the attributes of the Kohen and what is represented in the heart of the Mikdash. Says Rav Soloveitchik, HaOmer Hu semel lekalkala, shezachta lehigael. The Omer represents parnasa, finances which were redeemed. Why were they redeemed? Kalkala shehurma mechayei ha-jungle el govei ha-kdusha. Parnasa, which very well can be described as the money market, which was taken from the physical, basic, elemental, materialistic existence of this world and raised towards a greater purpose. El Govei HaKdusha, for the purpose of servitude of Hashem. That is the statement that we make with the Omer. That is how a person can move from the existence of a transcendental existence to the existence of the mundane. When he learns to take that spirituality of Pesach and to infuse it and inculcate it into his daily tidings of the Omer, of the Parnassah that he's expected to make on his own. I believe that this is really the idea. This past Shabbat, there are many people who place, which I didn't really know or remember, but my wife did so, they place a key hidden inside the challah. And I was wondering, what exactly is the source for this? Someone explained to me that the source is that after Pesach, after we were provided with Yitziyah Mitzrayim by Hashem, with all of our needs, now after Pesach, we're asking Hashem, we place the key inside the challah, and we say to Him that we are now willing to make the challah, that we're willing to knead the dough, that we're willing to bake the dough, to cut and harvest the wheat. But we're asking of Hashem not to leave us. The key to Parnassah is when we partner with Hashem, both asking Him to assist us, but also recognizing that we have to assist ourselves. We put the key, the Mafteach HaKalkala, the key of livelihood, into the dough of the challah, representing that we are now taking it in our hands to open it as well, and asking Hashem not to leave us, but to assist us on that endeavor. This is also the concept, I believe, of ma'aser. When a person is expected to give 10% of his livings or his earnings, to give 10% of those earnings as well to tzedakah, The statement is the same. We take our parnasah, that which appears to be what provides for our physical existence, and we raise it for greater purpose. The purpose of helping others. The purpose of ensuring that holy institutions are perpetuated and continued and able to hold their own. Jewish institutions, shuls, Jewish schools, we give our ma'aser, that which appears to be physically mundane, and we raise it towards a higher level of Kedusha, as we do with the Omer HaTnufa, as we approach Matan Torah, Chag HaShavuot. This past week, on Friday, Prince William in England, the United Kingdom, married Kate, and she became a princess, or I guess a duchess, I'm not really sure what the status would be. My wife being British, we in our Kehila have about 250 families here in Eretz Yisrael, and quite a few of them are British. My wife being British, I won't hold that against her. Baruch Hashem, she's been converted to become American, or even better, Israeli. But she was invited by a group of British families living here in the Shechina. They made a big party, a big shebang, on Friday afternoon in someone's house, showing the wedding of Prince William and Kate, and they had a big lechayim, and they had all kinds of festivities, and foods, and drink, and alcohol, and of course we were both invited, being it Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbat, and even if it wasn't, I didn't go, and I didn't think I would go anyway on any other day, but my wife said she was invited, so she felt it was only right, and she went. She went for a little while. This is Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbat, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, as people are supposed to be getting ready for Shabbat, they're having this party. And I thought to myself, something rubbed me the wrong way. What is wrong with this party? The truth is, there's nothing wrong if you see it as comical, as humorous, as a reason to celebrate, a reason to get together. It's not such a problem if you don't take it too seriously. But my problem is as follows. These same people, or a large amount of them, only a few months ago, 2 months ago, we had a shul dinner. And the shul dinner is raising money for the Beit Knesset, for our shul in Eretz Yisrael. It relies on all of its members to come to the dinner, to pay for the dinner, because part of those earnings, the money, goes to help support the shul's activities during the course of the year. And the large majority of people from England, the British members of our congregation, the large majority of them did not come to the shul dinner. They said, what do we need to go for? It's a waste of time. I don't have the time. Shul dinners are boring. Same speeches. Now, I said to myself, that is the problem with the party that took place on Friday. The question is, where do you place your priorities? Where do you place your money? Where do you place your physical existence? Is your physical existence to be raised for greater altruistic purpose? Or is your time and money spent on things which are narishkeit, things which do not represent or do not promote a greater cause, a greater benefit in this world? There's no problem with having a party for William and Kate. But there is a problem when you have a party for William and Kate and you have time to waste on Erev Shabbat, right before Shabbat, for the sake of having a good laugh, and you don't have time to go to a shul dinner, which is during the week, which is in the evening, and which obviously is a tremendous cause to support the same shul, the same institution that nurtures you and your family with an education, with spirituality, and the ability to service Hashem. The Korban HaOmer immediately after Pesach asks us and demands from us to focus our spiritual attention properly, to move from a physical existence into a spiritual reality. That is what the Omer's purpose is. And I believe that this is precisely why the Omer is called, or why we begin counting the Omer in the Torah with the words, Mimacharat HaShabbat. Shabbat, explains Rav Soloveitchik, is the same concept. 6 days we work, and Shabbat is the day in which reminds us of the principle that all that happens during the week is ultimately mundane. Shabbat takes, just as the Omer does, that one day and elevates the mundane of the week to higher and greater purpose. Mimacharat HaShabbat is the same concept of the Sfirat HaOmer. That's when we start to count, because that's when we are reminded of what the purpose is. And foundationally, conceptually, I would say that this same concept applies as well, and the formula, to Eretz Yisrael. We look at Eretz Yisrael, both in its past and its present modern history. It appears that this is a country which is really transcendental in existence. It has experienced a tremendous amount of transcendental experiences. We feel many times throughout its history of Eretz Yisrael, how many times Am Yisrael have felt downtrodden, lost, and almost destroyed. And nonetheless, miraculous events take place in this country of Eretz Yisrael by which we witness and experience salvation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani velo malach, ani velo saraf. Clearly, Eretz Yisrael demonstrates that Hashem breathes and is alive and well in this country. Eretz asher einei Hashem Elokecha bo mireishit hashana ad acharit hashana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches vigilantly over Eretz Yisrael constantly. This we see many times through its miraculous salvation and through its miraculous existence of this country. And yet, there are expectations that exist in Eretz Yisrael as well. There's a need for us to start counting the Omer, to offer that first threshing of the wheat. There's a need for us to sacrifice. There's a need for us in Eretz Yisrael to offer not only our livelihood, not only our parnasah, but unfortunately sometimes the price is to offer ourselves. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael demands that we sanctify ourselves for a greater purpose. Eretz Yisrael is not built on physicalities. It's not built on materialism. Ultimately, it demands spiritual attributes, spiritual characteristics. And this is representative as well in the connection in Parshat Behar between Shabbat and between the concept of Shemitah. In Vayikra Perek Chafhei, in Parshat Behar, as the Torah introduces the concept of Shemitah, the Torah says as follows, Perek Chafhei Pasuk Dalid. Interestingly enough, what is Shemitah called? The seventh year in which we do not work the land anymore? Ubashana Shvi'it. Shabbat Shabbaton Yihyeh La'aretz. Shabbat LaHashem. Shemitah, resting of the field, leaving the fields up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is also called Shabbat, demonstrative of the fact that we can realize and recognize the power of spirituality in this world. That we are the ones who work the land, that Eretz Yisrael requires Sheishanim Tizmor Karmacha, Sheishanim Tizra Sadecha. We have to work the field. It is in our hands. But also, it is together with belief in Hashem. That work, that struggle, that physical benefit must ultimately express itself in spiritual attribute. As it says in Pasuk Vav, V'hayta Shabbat Haaretz Lachem, Le'ochla, Lecha Ule'avdecha, Ve'la'amatecha, Ve'le'schircha, Ve'le'be'amtecha, Le'chayah Asher Ba'aretzecha, Tiyeh Kol Tvuata Le'echol. Immediately following in Pasuk Chet, interestingly enough, what word is used following the concept of Shemitah, 6 years of work, seventh year of rest? V'safalta lecha sheva shabtot shanim, sheva shanim sheva pe'amim. V'safalta, svira, svirat ha'omer, svirat ha'shanim. To count, the concept of counting is or can be depressing. It can remind us of anticipating something else. But when the Sfira is counting towards elevation, towards something that is more meaningful, that is when Sfira and reality kicks in. That is when it reveals itself, its true purpose, and how we're supposed to witness it, and how we're supposed to embellish it. And therefore, yes, in Pasuk Yud, immediately following, the Torah confirms, V'kidashtem et shnat ha-chamishim shana. That is how your kidashtem, that is how you sanctify, that is how you make holy, when you use your sfira for the sake of a greater concept. These days of Yom HaAtzma'ut, Yom HaZikaron, even Yom HaShoah, are referred to as Yemei HaGeulah, the days of redemption. Why? They are days of redemption that follow the ultimate redemption of Pesach. Pesach is the redemption of Am Yisrael Bidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the hand of Hashem. But all of these days, Yemei HaGeulah, represent the Jewish redemption, not only from Hashem, but with Hashem. Through our hands, through our efforts, through our activation, we are able to elevate the physical sense of this world for a greater spiritual purpose. When a Jew, and when a Jewish nation, can learn to adapt such a formula and to adapt such a concept, that is the greatest redemption that we can ultimately experience. Yehi Ratzon that we should move through this time frame with a tremendous amount of reflection as we count every day. We recognize that each and every one of us counts, and that each and every one of our actions has to count, not only within its physical revelation, but rather with its spiritual purpose. And through understanding and embracing these concepts, we'll be zoche to witness the Geulah in Eretz Yisrael, the Geulah of Am Yisrael, between ourselves, together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lanu u'lechol Yisrael. Amen.